your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Find the trailer shot. Score!
Listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligan. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McElligan.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Inside Edge. We've taken it live on location once again this week because we don't spend any time at home, so it seems. So here we are in Los Angeles, California tonight, sitting at the Staples Center, Bob McElligan and Jody Shelley. I was always under the impression that there are 365 days in the year and there were at least 365 events that went on in this building. So, well, maybe there is. Maybe they do some doubleheaders. But I can't believe the building is empty tonight. I'm telling you, it's got to be one of only a handful of times all year.
Well, Bob, this is the event in the Staples
they
Center.
They saved it for us.
That's right.
They saved it for us.
We rented out the building just so we could do this show from the press box here live.
Wait until the team gets this bill. This is going to be a big, big bill, right?
I think so, yeah. There's only 19,000 empty seats, some empty suites, and, of course, the large Jumbotron, which is ready for tomorrow night.
Yeah, but they have left that on for us. That's nice. This is, and guess what? This is one of the coldest buildings in the National Hockey League too, believe it or not. Because
really?
Well, the air blows right down on us.
Oh,
here,
that's
so.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, here we are in Los Angeles, following a Blue Jackets win last night in Northern California. The Blue Jackets going out and beating the San Jose Sharks last night. It was a 5-2 game. And sometimes you look at the score and it's not indicative of the way the game was played. Last night is very indicative of the way the Blue Jackets played the game. It was the first time all year that they had control of a game early, and every time it started to get away from them, they wrestled the control back, and two late goals by Boone Jenner and Ryan Murray within 29 seconds near the end of the second period gave them a two-goal lead. And, Jody, they went out in the third period. You could see their mindset. It was, let's shut this down. And the San Jose Sharks, there's still a lot of guys on that team that you played with when you were there, and you know that they're not about rolling over and going away. And, boy, they came hard, and the Blue Jackets were able to hold them off. Best team game of the year, wouldn't you say?
I would totally agree with you on that statement. And I think that the indication was that, you know, they scored – the Blue Jackets scored the early goal, and when the Sharks replied, there was no waiver. You could see, and it was very familiar to last year when the Blue Jackets had success, they just go about their own business. And that's when they're at their best. It's like, hey – this is a 60-minute game. We're going to get our chances if we take care of all three zones, skate like they did last night. And how about the puck support? I mean, it looked like a real team game from the Blue Jackets. So and Bobrovsky chipped in with those big saves. So I couldn't agree more. They looked unfazed. They looked like they were confident in their game plan, and they executed very well. I love the way they locked it down the last 5 minutes. Well played last 5 minutes. Guys were very, very attentive to what they had to do with the puck. They were responsible with the puck. That was a great job and a great effort all the way around.
Now, let me ask you this, because since John Tortorella has gotten here, he has stressed the defensive zone coverage. He's stressed the things that you do away from the puck, sometimes more than what you do when you have the puck. And then this team has been struggling to score goals for the last couple of games. So we went from talking about you can't play defense in your own end to, okay, now you're playing defense, now you're not scoring goals. Yesterday, it kind of came together. But my question for you is, eventually, does that defensive play lead to the scoring chances and get the offense going? Once you feel good about you're playing defense and you start to feel like, okay, well, we're not going to give up anything, so now let's go get something.
Well, it's not like they're just playing defense, but I understand what you mean. Like, it's like laying down a base or a foundation. You can't just come in and start with, let's go out and score goals and try to do everything at once. When you don't have a focus for the group when they get on the ice every single shift, then you can be all over the place. So I think he's smart in saying, hey, our priority is to protect our zone. You know, it's a low-scoring league. The goals are hard to come by. Protect our zone. And I love the way what the defensemen have done and what the forwards have done now is they come back so low and they protect the front of the net so well, they did last night anyways, a few instances, that the transition game, we talk about transition all the time. What is transition? Well, it means when you are playing defense, you're prepared for offense. You're ready that when you get the puck, me and you, Bob, if we're in the defensive zone, we're forwards, we're on the same page that we're gone. We're using our speed and jumping past that layer of four checkers by the opposition, and we're now offense. So I think it's a defensive mindset with offensive zone. Like, you cannot wait to get down in the offensive zone and have some fun. It's hard work, and it's blocking shots in the defensive zone, but he lets them play in the offensive zone. It's fun.
One guy that's really benefiting from that, I think, is Scott Hartnell. Look at the goal that he got last night. Comes out from behind the net. He's got the defender all over him. Turns the body so he can go to the forehand. And there was little, as I described it on my CBJ and 30 show earlier today, like a little triangle, right? Just over the right shoulder. Little triangle. You got the post, the crossbar, and the goaltender's shoulder there to make the triangle. And he just popped it right through there. And that made it a 2-1 game. But then the play that he made that got Boone Jenner the go-ahead goal, 3-2, when he comes flying behind the net, and Martin Jones, the goalie's out there playing it, and all of a sudden it was like Martin Jones went, where did this guy come from? And that just blew up the whole play. Puck winds up on Boone's stick, and he scores it. But Scott Hartnell is really, in my opinion, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's starting to thrive in this system.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that his leadership skills, John Tortorella today spent probably 4 minutes talking about Scott Hartnell, and he raved about him as a throwback player, as a leader, as a pro, a guy, he said, he's a different cat. He said it right out. His personality is a different cat. He said, but I like that. I like having different people in the room. It brings a different mix. And, you know, and Scotty is, I agree, he just wants, he's in a different place this year. He just wants to win. So the way that Tortorella goes about his business, a veteran like Scott likes that right now. And what the team has been through the start of the season, they need that solid direction. So you talk about thriving. I agree. You just want to be told what to do and how to do it, and Scott is controlling himself and how hard he's doing it. So it's been fun to watch him get out there and get at it. And I think Boone Jenner, too. I mean, I don't know. This kid is – I know there's a lot of talk about him the last couple of years, but just how he's – you know, you really get to see and learn about people in struggles. When the team's going well, everything's great, right? Everything is awesome. The food's great. The travel's awesome. The hotel is amazing. But when you're losing – you really learn about people and their character and really what they are. And I think Boone has been that real bright spot from this first, 13 games of the season. He's been consistently himself the whole time. And, boy, that's an encouraging sign. I think that's true leadership. And the Blue Jackets are definitely lucky to have him.
He and Ryan Murray are best buddies. They both had a goal. And Murray's goal gave them some insurance, which is something this team hasn't had all year, is insurance. They finally got it last night. But I want to talk to you about Ryan Murray because he really started slow. And there was a lot of head-scratching by a lot of people. And I couldn't believe it because I always saw him take pride in being ready to go. He'd missed those long spans last year. He missed like 25 games. He'd come back in. It was like he didn't miss a beat. But this year, he was struggling early. Now, all of a sudden, in these last four or five games, he looks like he's really picked it up. Is that, does that go hand-in-hand with a coaching change or the change in the defensive philosophy, or is it just him, hey, maybe we shouldn't have figured that missing almost a whole year wouldn't affect him?
I think that's the problem. I think that, okay, it's one thing to be injured in season and be practicing and around the NHL level every single day. I mean, you get better in the NHL whether you're playing or not, just being in the atmosphere, being around, being focused, focused on the details of the game. Your mind is there. He had all summer to go do whatever, train. This is his first summer, I think, where he's trained by himself, where he's been away from the atmosphere. You know, excuse me, that's a big deal for him. He stepped away. He changed his training routine. He comes in, and I think the game, I think he thought he was fast enough. He thought he was processing it fast enough. And it goes for other Jackets, too. They just weren't on top of the details, and things were happening too fast. And I think that he's worked hard. He's worked hard on the ice with his teammates. And now it seems like he's caught up. He's caught up to the game. And it sounds like it's a strange conversation to have about Ryan Murray. But we talked about him, like, what he was going to do and what he was going to go through was going to be an easy transition. You look at his start to the National Hockey League, having his shoulder surgery, and then last year with his lower body was his knee or whatever. He got that taken care of. And it's one thing to be healthy, but it's always something else when you get healthy and get in game mode. And I think he's just about in game mode now.
Alexander Wennberg joined the team today. It's not known whether or not he's going to play tomorrow, but as he comes back to join the club, David Clarkson is out. He got hurt in last night's game. He was placed on injured reserve, and Kirby Reichel has been called up from the Lake Erie Monsters. So a couple of moves today for the Blue Jackets on their day in between games. They'll take on the Kings here at Staples Center tomorrow night at 7:30 our time, 10:30 Eastern time for you. So take a nap tomorrow. You got to stay up late.
Extra half hour.
Extra half hour, too. Absolutely.
To the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGelly.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
On your home of the Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Coming to you live from Staples Center in Los Angeles, California, where tomorrow night the Blue Jackets will take on the LA Kings, the resurgent Los Angeles Kings, by the way. They are they come into the game tomorrow night off of victory. We'll talk about that in a little bit. There was a subject I wanted to go to in this segment, and we're taking your questions and your calls. If you want to call, it's 614-821-9710, or you can tweet a question at Bobby Mac Sports. And that's what I got, a question tweeted in. It leads me to a subject I wanted to talk to you about anyway. CBJ or Die has this question. If you're John Tortorella, which defenseman are you sitting out tomorrow? And why? My thing would be, I would go with the same six. You just won a game with the same six. Vetter Tootin got a chance to get back in. And I thought Vetter Tootin really took advantage of that opportunity to climb back in the lineup last night. He was disappointed when he got scratched before the game in Washington. And John Tortorella told him he wanted him to play better. I thought he was much improved last night.
Yeah, he was. I mean, that's the only answer. You're not going to change the lineup on the defensive end, I think, tomorrow night. There was a step taken last night by that group, and I really like what Connaughton and Golubev brought to the game. They brought energy. They had a confidence. That Kevin, or that Cody Golubev has got a certain confidence about him. He's always been confident in his ability, and I honestly think that he might have taken that step to be an NHL defenseman. He just seems to have the poise, and maybe it's the system with the confidence. But him and Kevin Connaughton did well last night. Jack Johnson and Savard, they eat up big minutes. They're going to play against your big pairs and big forwards. And then Tootin and Murray, I don't think you can take them out. Now, I think Dalton Prout is right there, too. He could be in that situation to be in there, but not tomorrow night. I think he sits. I love Dalton. I'd love to see him in there. But he'll be ready and fired up when he does get the chance. And now the competition is on because one slip in what you're doing, all six of those guys know, with Vetter Tootin being that healthy scratch, no one's safe.
Is he making that scratch, in your opinion? And again, you played for the guy, so you know his mindset a little bit better. Was that all based on the way he was playing, or does he want to create that as well, you know, to say, look, if Vetter Tootin can sit, anybody can sit, so you better play well enough to stay in?
No, if he's got something to tell you, he would tell you. Doesn't need to send a message. He's a guy that just looked at the video, and you imagine the video he's been trying to watch. He's got a little bit of a library now with these games. He's been here for six games, I believe. And, yeah, he's been here for six. He's 3-3. And so as he watches, he's looking for good things. He's looking for great things. And he's looking for things that just, like, why did that guy get free in front of the net? How come this guy on the boards didn't get taken out? How does that shot get through? So he saw Tootin a couple times, and John Tortorella came out and said he's not doing things quick enough. So Vetter Tootin was not happy about it and came back and played, as you mentioned, really well. But no, it's just he thought that he wasn't playing up to the standard that he needs to be at, and it's either get better or you might not get in the lineup.
And you don't want a guy to ever be happy, and especially not a veteran
Never.
Guy like that. But he would be very honest when you asked him. You know, how come you're not in tonight? Well, I don't know. He said, I've got to get better. And then when we talked to him today, you know, he said, what did he say to us? He said, hey, you want to stay in the lineup, you got to pick it up. And that's exactly where he is.
He said, I hope I played well enough to play tomorrow. We'll see. Because right. we had the conversation. We stood with Vetter Tootin today after their practice. They had a noon practice here in L.A. And we said, you know, good job last night. Nice plays blocking the shot. Good job. You had to take that penalty. He didn't think it was a penalty, and he said about his play, he said, I hope it was good enough. And not that I want him thinking that way, but it's not bad when you're part of an organization now that's 3-10 out of the gate. It's not bad to have veteran players and all players on notice that, hey, it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It's what you do tonight that helps us get the win, and then we'll worry about tomorrow.
And if you're Dalton Prout, where are you now, you know, with your head? You know, you've got the opportunity to play games, and he, even when he struggled last Friday night in Washington, he got a chance to climb right back in there and play the next night against the Winnipeg Jets. Now he's the guy on the outside looking in.
He'll be fine, and I think he's got to look no further than Fedor Tootin and Jared Bull, and Kevin Connaughton. Different situations, because Kevin and Jared waited their turn to get in the lineup, and once they did, they've done a nice job. But with Fedor couldn't have handled it any better, and I think that Dalton has been in this situation before, and if he can look at Fedor Tootin and how, you know, because I'm sure Dalton was like, wow, I'm in and Tootin's out. That hasn't happened before for Dalton. So that's a good sign for those two games. And now Dalton has got to say, hey, Fedor Tootin was mad, which I can be mad. That's fine. I'm allowed to be mad because I don't think we've seen Dalton mad, visibly mad, at the rink because he's not playing. He's a very good teammate. He wants everyone to – he doesn't want to be a distraction, and I get that. But it's okay for him to be mad and respond by doing what he needs to do. If it's making the pass or if it's taking the body or whatever John Tortorella wants him to do, I'm sure it's clear for Dalton Prout.
You mentioned Jared Bull. I think one of the best stretches last night was when his line got hung out on the ice and they couldn't change. And the shift, what did the shift last? A minute and a half?
9 minutes, I think.
Yeah, that's how it felt, I'm sure, to those guys. And John Tortorella praised that line today, saying how he knew that they had no legs. Their legs were gone, but they just collapsed and covered the middle. And that's what he was happy that they did. They took away everything in the middle, which gave them a chance. And finally, Jared Bull blocks a shot that ends up going off his body and up over the glass and out of play. But there were a couple of shots they blocked that they went laterally. They didn't bounce back out toward the blue line. They just couldn't get out of their own end. And I think that says a lot toward the other guys on the bench, too. I mean, there's your fourth line, and they're out there, and they are just fighting and clawing. And by the time they do get over to the bench, I would imagine that you feel like, man, we owe these guys. They just did all that work. We've got to go out there and do at least that much work, if not more.
I think there's a little relief, too, that your teammates got out of it without getting burned. You know what I mean? There's no worse feeling than having some offensive zone time, especially with the long change in the second period. So you're in the offensive zone. You're rolling around. Your bench is right next to that offensive zone, right? You're in there having a good time. It's fun. And then the team goes back to your end, and you're like, oh, I can't change now. So you got to go down, and you're playing defense. You're like, okay, whistle, something's going to happen. Well, those guys had two or three line. The Sharks had two or three line changes, and these guys were caught out there in like a, I call it like a, it's almost like a spin cycle in a dryer, just going around. You're just closing the middle, just getting tumbled around. So they're in there doing that and fighting for that puck and trying to stay. I mean, physically, you're just done, and when you're done physically, mentally, it's even harder. But when they got back to the bench, I think it was great because it's a bend, not break mentality. Or you can bend a little, give them a little, but don't break. Don't give them that goal. And that was a big play for that line and Jared Bull to block the shot. And, boy, he must have felt good when that puck went over the glass and they got the whistle.
What did he say to you this morning? That's the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah. I said, well, why didn't you turn around and shoot it on Bob? I mean, would have made the save? He would have got a whistle. So I didn't think of that.
Speaking of Sergei Bobrovsky, we haven't even talked about him. I guess with every performance like last night's, and he's had other ones, in New Jersey he was very good, and you hope that that's him back to being himself. And then the Winnipeg game comes along, and he gets pulled after the first period, and now it's a head-scratcher again. But John Tortorella went right back to him last night, gave him a chance to jump right back into the fire, and what a great decision that was because that's the Sergei Bobrovsky everybody's grown to love in Columbus last night.
You know what? And Bob, when he's on his game, he makes the first stop, and then it's like he cannot wait for the next puck. He's just searching. Come on, bring me more, more, more. He likes the challenge. And last night, he was clearly up for the challenge with his body language, the way he moved in the net, strong. He just looked confident. I bet you that John Tortorella watched him closely from the moment that he took him off. Just think now, he has to go and sit on the end of the bench for that third period of that game. I'm sure John Tortorella watched his response, watched his preparation when we got to San Jose the next day. There was a practice day. And boy, you saw him. And he was on the bike five times.
Yeah.
It was like before practice, after practice, before the game, or before pregame skate, after pregame skate, before the game. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. But
every time we walked by, it was like, did he move off of there? Oh, yeah, he's got a different shirt on, so I guess he did.
No, but it was like, yeah, we left practice what day is it now? On Monday, was it? We left practice?
Yeah.
Bob's on the bike after the skate. So we're like, oh, see you, Bob. We could take the bus back to the hotel. Bus the next day to practice. We get to practice just before, about an hour before it starts. Bob's on the same bike, still pedaling him. We're like, Bob, did you go home, or what have you been doing? You want to?
And he was in yogurt? he was in such a good mood yesterday too. He had that big smile was back, because that there hasn't been that much light in his eyes through this year, I don't think, because I think he's been really, really hard on himself and you know trying to work so hard. I just don't think he's been as happy as he was yesterday. Yesterday he was really himself.
Well, if you think about it, and this has just crossed my mind here, if you go back to the opening game of the season and that week before the season started and how everyone felt so good about the Blue Jackets and how good they felt about themselves, I think they might have forgotten. No, I shouldn't say forgotten, but what's it like to win a game in the National Hockey League? It's hard. You have got to be on all the time. And that lull in the schedule, the time to feel good about yourself, and then the heartbreak of the first game, and then go right to New York again and get behind the eight ball again. They were reeling. And I think Bob now, it got so bad at seven games in a row or whatever, new coach comes in. That got so bad that these guys were like, okay, let's just get our legs under ourselves, focus on ourselves, and get going. And I think Sergei Bobrovsky is a very good example of that. And like you say, hopefully this is a springboard for Sergei. It feels like it to me. It feels like the bricks are now built back up from the bottom. He's going to grow on that.
And another guy that I hope's in that same category is Ryan Johansson, who I thought had his best game of the year last night. He always plays well against the Sharks. He's playing against the guy that he, I don't want to say idolized, but a guy that he really watched and wanted to emulate his game growing up, in Joe Thornton. And every time they go head-to-head, he seems like he's got it ramped up for that. Now, that's something he has to capture and do it again tomorrow night and do it again on Friday night and do it again next Tuesday at home, because if he plays that kind of game every night, he's really going to help this team get better fast.
And, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's got to be full-time because he's a target. When you're preparing for the opposition, the L.A. Kings tomorrow will watch a video of the team, but they'll clue in on personalities, and one is going to be, and every team in this league is going to know, Ryan Johansson, number 19, is dangerous with the puck, and they'll show examples of him in successful situations and situations where you can get after him and cause him to have a little bit of problems. So they'll go after his weakness. So he's got to try to improve every day. Today, we saw him working on faceoffs. He's been taking faceoffs his whole life, but there's tricks in that that specialty of the game that he needs to learn and stay on top of, because they're coming after him, and he will get better. And it's been a slow and frustrating start for him and for us as fans. But I think a guy like that, forget everything that's gone on. Your importance is every single day you got to come to work. And I think that's where John Tortorella, everyone thinks he's such a tough guy. And he can be. It can be tough to hear the truth. But I think for Ryan Johansson, you see him really encouraging him too in a structured way to be like, you know what, these are your boundaries. And it's up to you to put in the work and the effort, and I will push you and get you there. But there's a real honest encouragement from John Tortorella with him.
He mentioned today he didn't think they were ready for the practice today. And he said that's something young players have to learn. They've got to bring it every day. You can't just go and have a good game last night and not be ready for practice the next day. And that's when he cited guys like Scott Hartnell being able to help push that agenda and get those guys ready. All right, one more guy I'm going to ask you about, and then we'll stop talking about last night and move ahead to tomorrow night and beyond. I thought the Brandon Saad that we saw last night was the Brandon Saad that they acquired from the Chicago Blackhawks, and I don't think that we've seen that guy. I still don't think that we've seen the best of his play, but I think last night I know he scored that big goal on opening night at home, but I think consistently from opening faceoff to final horn last night, I thought that was his best game as a Blue Jacket.
I would agree, and I think, and I've done a lot of agreeing with you, Bob, and we have not rehearsed this.
We didn't.
But I agree with that because
it's just a great minds think alike. I think that's what it is.
No, but and we didn't do the same show. You did your own thing last night, which is what we do. But here's what. How about him off the ice? Did you notice something different with him in the last 2 days? Like, there is just a calmness now. He was kind of looked lost to me when he was getting off the bus, getting on the plane. It was just like, what is going on? And I could imagine how he feels. He comes from Chicago, and the team, it takes a month or 2.5 weeks to win a game, and they go through a new coach. So he just seemed chipper last night going into the game, and I kind of felt they all did. There was something about being out in San Jose and being the underdog that team last night embraced, just saying, hey, forget what's going on. Let's just play our game. And, Saad looked good. His speed, his strength, the things that we had heard about him, I think that was really something that came to the forefront last night.
Your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Some songs are just classics. That would be this one. Guns N' Roses. And we're in L.A. at Staples Center. Peering out at center ice here.
I wonder if Axl Rose is here tonight. Let's check that out, see if he is.
He might be playing this song somewhere
tonight.
Wonder if he would sound the same. I don't know how could he even speak when he would get done doing a concert? You know what I mean?
He's probably got his own little secret.
Yeah, right. He probably does. The Kings, they just went on a road trip. They had to play back-to-back games, and they had two tough ones. They had to take on Chicago and St. Louis back-to-back. They lost the game in Chicago 2 nights ago, and then last night they went into St. Louis, and they really did some damage to the St. Louis Blues. They went in there, and they won 3-0 was the final score. And this Kings team, a team that won 2 Stanley Cups in 3 years, and then last year missed out. There was a question, well, is their window closing? They had a lot of off-ice issues going on. The Mike Richards, Slava Voynov, they had these off-ice situations that they had to deal with. But they've come back now, and this is a team that, not just that 3-0 win, Jody, but they're still big, strong, fast. They've got experience, and they finally, for the first time in a couple of years, got a break and got some time off and didn't have to play late into the summer. So they look like they're starting to gear it back up here.
That's a really good point. You know, you think about those teams that go that far year after year. It's a lot more hockey than the rest of the league. And to be able to get that many cups in a short period of time is very impressive. But now they're rejuvenated. They've got that core of players. They've got the Daryl Sutter mode and the head coach and how he approaches it and how he stays on top of his players. They've really found a nice thing here, and I hate to say it, but Jeff Carter is blooming into that player that I think everybody knew he would be. It didn't work out in Columbus, of course, but he's fitting here so well. They've made a few little acquisitions. Ehrhoff came in from Pittsburgh, and he's fit in nicely in this system. He was a free agent over the summer. And a guy like Milan Lucic, who comes over from Boston, I thought that was a tremendous pickup. And here's a guy that's been so physical and such a I think a player that, like, you know, you think of the Boston Bruins of the 80s and 90s, you think of Cam Neely. Well, I think that Lucic is that guy for the Bruins. I was shocked that he got traded out here, but they've totally changed things there, and I think the LA Kings with that pickup have really done themselves a nice job.
Another guy that's really doing a good job for them, I mentioned the Slava Voynov situation. They lose one of their top defensemen when he gets in trouble off the ice, and now he's gone, he's not here. Braden McNabb is a guy that's really picked up the slack for them. He's averaging almost 22 minutes of ice time per night. This is a guy that was, I think last year when we were here, he was kind of a throw-in, maybe a number six defenseman, maybe didn't even play. Now all of a sudden he's in there, and he's playing with Drew Doughty on the top pairing, and it's just funny how it works. It's kind of what we talked about in the first half of the show. It's all about opportunity and what you do with it once you get it.
Well, how lucky are you to play with Doughty? You've got to have skill, and you got to be smart to be able to do it. But, right, how many guys that have tried to play in the NHL will never, have never, had that opportunity to play with a Doughty, a Pronger, a Niedermeyer? We saw Francois Beauchemin in Colorado a week ago. Was that a week? Maybe a week and a half ago. And he gets traded in the Fedorov trade to the Anaheim Ducks, and he gets to play with Niedermeyer, and he says, I said, well, did he teach you? Like, was he talking to you all the time and telling you what to do on the ice? He goes, no. He was my D partner, and I just watched him. He said it was unbelievable playing with him. So a guy like McNabb to get in here and play with Doughty, who I think is the best defenseman in the NHL because of the way he plays, his steady presence. He's a young guy still. So, yeah, I forgot about McNabb. And then you have Kopitar, who's in a free agent situation next year. His contract negotiations, it sounds like they're going to get it done. He is a guy we may talk about here in the next little bit on his availability for tomorrow night. We can talk about it now, I guess.
Yeah,
he just came out and said he will be available for the game tomorrow night. There was discussions around the Blue Jackets dressing room today if Kopitar is available. He did leave the game yesterday with a concussion-like symptom. Concussion-like? I guess concussion symptoms. And Daryl Sutter came out this afternoon and said he's fine. He's ready to go.
Yeah, went through all the protocols, and they have deemed him ready to play tomorrow night. And I, you know, would it be easier to play without him in the lineup? Probably so, but you can't count on that stuff. You got to be prepared for him to be in there and play.
Right, and then someone in the stands with the hot air section that was standing there, the Portsline Rimmer, Shelley, McGilligan, mentioned that they could come to California and play the Ducks with no Getzlaff and the Kings with no Kopitar. But it ain't happening.
No, it's not. It's guys like that,
it's fun to talk about.
Right, it is. But a guy like that is not going to miss a game if he doesn't have to miss a game.
Right.
They're a total competitor, and that's why he's had the success that he has had. And you mentioned his contract situation, and I would guess, I don't know, but I would guess it can be a little bit distracting, but you know, go out and do your job, right?
He knows it's exciting.
Well, because
the money they're talking about. I mean, it's got to be ridiculous.
And if it wouldn't happen here, what, like nobody's going to sign him?
You want to leave L.A.?
No, he doesn't.
Where's he going to go? I mean, he's a captain of he's a leader of the he's a leader of the L.A. Kings. He's been here a long time. He's won two Stanley Cups. He's not going anywhere.
No,
and I'm sure it's not distracting when they're talking about probably $7-8 million a year. You think it's up there?
That would distract me. I would really distract.
You'd be
me.
Woohoo!
I'd be like, I'd leave in the middle of the game to go sign it.
You'd have your pen in your glove.
I'll be back. I'll be right back. Just if I miss a shift, just hang on.
Tape
I'll be
your
back.
Pen on the blade of your stick so you can sign it.
Yeah,
on the ice. Reach over the
Ocho Cinco moment, right?
Yeah, right.
You are listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
On your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Live in Los Angeles, California, the city of angels.
We got to get on mic. We got to change it up. We need a new DJ.
Yeah. Maybe we need to pick our own stuff.
Freshen it up a little
Freshen
bit.
Freshen it up. We're at the Staples Center where the Blue Jackets will take on the LA Kings tomorrow night. Before we went to the break, we were talking about players having distractions. You've been distracted during this whole show.
Bob, I'm glad you brought that up. My phone beeped, and my wife sends me a picture of a litter of dogs. So she's looking at dogs now. So in the middle of a road trip, I could be coming home Saturday to a new dog.
You might. Well, it's a good thing you're not flying overnight now. You might walk in and get your leg bitten when you walk in the door at 3 in the morning.
What the?
Now, is that within the rules? I mean, that would be like you going to the car lot and bringing home a car.
You know the
it?
Rules. There are no rules.
That's absolutely right.
Not be pretenders.
We were also looking around here. One thing about this building and how busy it is and the history in this building. They went from the Forum, and then they built this building downtown here. And you look up here and you see all these banners for the greats and the literally the great one, Wayne Gretzky, and Luke Robitaille's there, Rob Blake's there, and the Stanley Cup champion banners. You look to the other side, and you see all the Lakers retired numbers that are hanging up there and the championship banners for the Lakers. And then you move a little bit further, and they've got the LA Sparks, which is the WNBA team. And then you've got Taylor Swift, the most sold-out performances here at Staples Center.
Awesome show. You're not sold on it.
I mean,
it just doesn't fit in.
You know what? But it's also probably my age, because when we would go out to Long Island and go to play the Islanders, there would be a Billy Joel banner there, and I'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Billy Joel.
Is he from here, though?
Could be. I don't know.
Don't
I
don't pretend know. You don't know.
I don't know. But she's played a lot here. I don't. If she's not from here, she's here a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
She's had the most sold-out performances at Staples Center. I mean, would that be the first? If I said to you, who has the most, would you pick her first?
No.
Well, then you would be wrong, because it was her.
Hey, Grammys are here, right? Like, they have all
those. Oh, yeah.
This is
absolutely.
A,
they do it all here, man.
Staples Center.
So I can't believe that this ice was available today for the guys to practice.
I want to go back to that. You mentioned I was distracted.
Yes.
Well, you know what else is distracting me?
What?
Your mustache.
All those.
Yes.
Listen, all right. Now that you brought that up, let's just get into that.
November. Bob McGill. Hey,
this is the second time.
Let me turn the light on here.
I just want to state for the record now, since you brought it up, this is the second time in 3 years I thought we had a deal. I thought we had a deal, and it's the second time in 3 years that half the deal's being done. And, by the way, it's on my side of the table, not yours.
Bob, the first year I panicked, okay? We were radio partners, and I just couldn't do it.
You just didn't think it would look good on radio?
I still thought I was a player a little bit, so that's for the player. So I thought I was too, you know, I didn't cross the line. Okay, last year I did it. You didn't do it last year, did you?
No.
Okay, so thank you very much. So I did it by myself last year. I don't know anyone in the organization else. Jason Zampano did it. That was great. This year I refused to do it. I looked at pictures from last year, and I'm like, no way.
That's your first mistake. Why would you do that?
Because they're on display in my house. I'm like, look at. Well, I know what month it was.
Wait a minute. Wait. 3 days ago, you were telling me you were going to grow a full beard for this thing. And all of a sudden, you get on the bus the other day, and you're completely clean shaven, saying, I feel great.
I just
How do you
shaving.
Go from that to the other?
What? I don't know. I wanted to shave. I looked like I was, you know, I don't know.
Quit looking at yourself.
The makeup doesn't go on the beard.
Okay.
There's no excuse.
All right. No.
But it is Movember, and I'm glad you're doing it. And men's health is the Men's Health Awareness, so, you know, it's good for you. You look good. And wait, when I met you in Johnstown, had the sickest duster I've ever seen, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was. You talk about looking
back.
Was it red? You talk about looking back at pictures. It was. I didn't look like Tom Selleck with that thing. Let me just say that.
I thought you did,
but maybe worse. Before we leave, Connor McDavid gets injured last night. Number one overall pick this past summer. He was lighting it up, and he was, he was becoming the wonder kid that everybody predicted that he would be. Suffers a broken collarbone, and he's on the shelf. And that's not just a blow to the Edmonton Oilers. It's a huge one to them, don't get me wrong. But also, in a way, it's a blow to the league to take out a young superstar and not have him for a couple of months.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, have you watched any Oilers games?
No.
I have. I'm excited about the Edmonton Oilers.
You went to see him in Erie.
Yeah, I went to see Connor McDavid. Guys like that, it's just something about watching players like Connor McDavid. It's awesome. It's really unfortunate that he's got a broken clavicle and he's out for a while. And you know, the question also comes up, how does he heal? Sure, he's going to heal fine, but hopefully everything goes great during that whole process, the surgery, and get him back to being that superstar that he's going to be. But it's just there's an excitement. When Crosby came in the league, Ovechkin, and he brings it. They're fast. He's awesome. And that's an unfortunate series of events that happened last night. He was going on towards the net. I don't know if you haven't seen, he's going down towards the net. And just as he gets to the goal line, he gets tangled up. His feet get tangled up. He goes hard into the end boards, and two guys fall on top of him. Mm-hmm. And you knew right away. It looks like he was in a car wreck, and then he got up, and that was the news. So hopefully surgery is soon and he can get mending and back in the league. Because I hope he's in. Will we go out there in February?
Yeah.
I hope he's in the lineup. That's selfish.
No truth to the rumor that Jack Eichel's the happiest guy in the NHL.
You just made that rumor.
I'm just kidding. But, I mean, those guys were going to battle all through. And another thing. That's another thing that you kind of lose now, because there was going to be that comparison. Those two will be linked forever. So,
yeah.
But now here in this rookie season, you're not going to have that back and forth. And Jack Eichel got two goals last night. Connor McDavid got one assist. Oh, Connor McDavid got a hat trick. You know,
well,
that'll go away for a while.
It changes the Calder Trophy race too a little. Someone else now is there's a spot available, because there was really only one spot available,
right?
I think, with Eichel and McDavid. So now there's a runner-up spot available.
runner-up spot available for the Calder Trophy. So, yeah, I agree with you, though. I hope he's ready by the time we play him. I want to see him play.
Yeah, no, I definitely live. Do, yeah. In the NHL with some really good talent. I mean, Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Have they finally figured it out? With Todd McClellan as the coach
yes.
there now, have they finally figured it out?
I spoke with my mother today in Edmonton, Alberta. And my mother is secretly, she barely admits it, but she's an Edmonton Oilers fan. Yeah, and I've played, you know, in different teams, not the Oilers once, but deep down, they read the Edmonton Sun every morning, and I know it's, you know, and so she's, like, devastated because she thinks, you know, Todd McClellan is really got this team turned around, and the young kids have grown up a little bit, and they've figured it out.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch. And, by the way, you only get that kind of insight on this show. Right?
Well,
I mean, your mother's
on
not
your show, CBJ and 30.
Yeah, but your mom's not calling my show. So you can only get that
your
inside
mom,
information.
You're getting information from your relatives. I know you are. Back in Somerset, Pennsylvania, about the Pittsburgh Penguins.
No,
let's
be
honest.
I'll be honest. I haven't talked to any of them about them. I haven't. I can't.
Because they're Penguins fans.
Yeah. So I just don't talk. I don't talk.
What's
to
going
them about
on with Crosby?
I don't know. Not
what are
nothing,
they saying?
Not much of anything.
What are they saying?
Well, I know that there's some people there. There's things that are being said there that would never have been said before, right? I think it might be time. Time for what? Time for what? What they don't, you know, if they didn't want that guy, I'm sure there would be about 29 teams lined up to try to take him.
Absolutely, he's got 6 points, I think, to going into last night. He usually has around 15 or 16 by this many games.
So that's weird.
Something's wrong.
Not shooting the puck or something. I don't know. And
not
they brought
the
in
ice.
Kessel. Well, yeah. Brought in Kessel and all that stuff. So we'll see them. We're going to go there and play next Friday,
I think. Next Friday.
I only know what's going on basically day to day, week to week. No more than week to week right now. Right?
Where are you right now?
I don't know.
Staples Center. In Los Angeles, California. What a great spot.
And that's going to wrap up this week's edition of the Inside Edge tomorrow night. It's the Blue Jackets and the Los Angeles Kings. That'll be a 10:30 face-off. Pre-game coverage here on 97.1 The Fan will start at 10:15 tomorrow night. You can catch Jody on Fox Sports Ohio. That'll do it for this week's show. Thanks for listening to the Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan.